Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
But today we're going to talk about deepening the relationships. I tried to kind of use acronyms, so it's another DTR on each of the titles. So first one was design the relationship, design of the relationship. Second one was destroying the relationship. And deepening the relationship. And obviously, I wasn't teaching you how to destroy the relationship last week. I was trying to teach you how to stop destroying the relationship. And if you weren't here last week, that's probably a good one to go back and listen to. I think that was a good word. And awesome. So, hey, I just want to start out. How many have been watching the Olympics? Watching some good stuff? How many of you are cheering for your different teams and nations and sports and all that? I just want to just kind of bag on Canadians a little bit to start the service and be a little politically incorrect. How many Canadians in the room? I know Pastor Matt, our worship leader, is Canadian. No one else? Okay, no one else is going to be offended in the room. And I already told Matt, so here we go. But, you know, in Canada, the Toronto News published this listing of accident reports filed by those involved in accidents. These are real accident reports, okay? So this is what they reported. Coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree I don't have. Hey, Canadians, hey. The next one, I collided with a stationary truck coming the other way. I like this one. A truck backed through my windshield into my wife's face. Really? A pedestrian hit me and went under my car. He ran out and hit the car and jumped underneath it. It's amazing how this is reported. I like this one. A guy was all over the road. Everybody say, hey. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him. Sounds like he's a target. Just saying. I like this one. I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed for the embankment. What did you see in her? How about this one? In my attempts to kill a fly, I drove into a telephone pole. That'll do it. Little guy, was he on the grill? How about this one? A pedestrian had no idea which direction to run, so I ran him over. And this is the last one. This is my favorite. Moms, how about this one? The indirect cause of the accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth. Anyway, blame shifting. Come on, Mom, smile. Come on, what's wrong with you? It's okay, I'm just lighten up. If you don't lighten up, here we go. So anyway, I do have a word for you. Let's bring it. We're going to come out of John 15, verse 9. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love, These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Say that with me. Love one another, as I have loved you. Man, this is really key to everything. You say, well, what's the one thing in relationships? That's it. Is that we get the love from God so we can give it to other people. And that we love as he loves. And anytime we go off the mark and we wonder why the relationship's not flowing good, we look back at Jesus, the mark of love, and say, am I loving the way Jesus loved? And am I loving the way... Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all the things I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit. And that's what we're talking about, is bearing fruit in relationships. Not just talking about relationships, not just talking about growth, not just celebrating Valentine's Day and then moving on and going back into the same old things. Listen, whatever you apply from this series in 3 weeks, after 3 weeks, if you don't make some shifts and changes, you will forget everything you learned. That's typical. Maybe you're different than most, but that's most. So you have to make an action item and do some things differently. You have to do something different to have a different outcome. If you want to grow in a relationship, you need to make some changes to bear better fruit. Whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give you. So We're talking about fruit, and then he says, whatever you ask in my name, he will give you. I hope you're asking that for deeper and more meaningful relationships. I hope that's your heart's cry. Anybody agreeing in here? I mean, when we go in eternity, relationships is one of the things we take into eternity. Relationships are eternal. If something's eternal, there's temporal things and eternal things. Focusing on an eternal thing is a very good thing to do. You know, I was watching the Olympics, and one thing kept sticking out to me was we're sitting there, and then the announcer's like, here they are, and they're on the run, and they're about ready to do their thing, you know. Okay, how about the ice skaters? And they're taking the ice. They really need to do their best right now. We're thinking, hello, they're at the Olympics. What do you mean they need to do their best? They really need to do their best. What, they really need to do a clean performance right now. And I'm like, hello, they're at the Olympics. Of course they know they need to do a clean performance. They really need to do, you know what I mean? It's like, isn't that obvious that they train for 4 years or 12 years or however many years they've been training and they're out there. Everyone's trying to do their best under pressure, right? So in relationships, don't we have pressure in relationships sometimes? And really the ones that shine are the ones who are able to do their best under pressure and not give up. Did you notice that some people blew it, but then they stuck in there and they turned around and they won, even though they blew it at the beginning because they didn't let their failure convince them that they are a failure? Just because you fail doesn't make you a failure. If you quit, if you stop giving your whole heart, if you stop trying with all your heart, just saying. And what are they doing? They're all trying to get their best. They're all trying to hit the podium. You know, I think, you know, to get gold. I just was cracking up at some of the commentary. Teresa's probably like, okay, I get it, Daniel. But, you know, you just keep hearing it over and over. And it's like, isn't that obvious? What is the goal? So what's the goal in our relationships? What is the goal? Are we just going for like a five? Boom. It's a score, Johnny. Yeah, he did okay. He did good. He didn't crash and burn. You know, you come out and you blow it, so the whole rest of the thing, instead of doing a spin that's a four, you do a three and this and that, and you play it safe because you don't want to look bad. This is not what relationships are about. We're not supposed to just play it safe so nobody really sees what is really there. Sometimes what we made a mistake, it's because something in there needs to be fixed. You don't just hide it. You keep pushing for the best. You push for the podium. You push for the gold. So what's heavenly scores look like in a relationship? I mean, it looks like Jesus. Jesus is the mark, right? This isn't real complicated, right? He tells us what love is. It's love. It's Jesus' love. It's that overwhelming love that just comes, that reckless love of God. And we get to be a little reckless to love each other. And if you play it safe, maybe you won't be... Are you with me? God didn't play it safe. He went all the way. He put it all on the table. You know, risk was even rewarded in the Olympics, and I thought that was interesting. They're figure skating, and if they did a perfect three, and it would score less than somebody who did an imperfect four and fell. Risk was rewarded, and I think risk is rewarded even in relationships. Don't hold back. Even if in trying to do your best, you fall, get back up. You're not a failure. Don't quit, and don't back off. Oh, Annie, you missed it. I bagged on Canadians. I tried to tell Matt before the service. Anyway, maybe I'll get him second service. We have our resident worship leader Canadian in the house. I just thought we got to just keep him on his toes. So good to have you back. We were up at Bethel. Awesome things. We need to take risks in relationships. We need to take risks with our anointings. We need to take risks with our giftings. We need to take risks. Don't you take risks in business? How many people become like successful because they just played it safe? They went halfway. We did not name our church Mediocre Christian Church. We named it Summit. Mediocre means halfway up the mountain. I mean, what's your goal? What are you shooting for? What kind of relationship? See, I'm trying to get you to like, look at, don't play it passive and go through another year where you didn't increase in relationships. And did you set goals to increase? Did you really talk? You can take that paper and just throw it away, or you could really dig deep and say, this is kind of risky to ask these questions. You want me to ask my spouse how I could do better and what I could do? Blah, blah, blah. That's risky. Yeah, there's a couple risky ones on there. That's the whole point. Are you with me? All I'm saying is that we need to go all the way. Jesus trusted Judas, and that was risky, knowing that he had been doing some things that were dishonest, but yet he stayed with him for 3 years. And then we see Peter last week. Peter kind of wakes up, and Judas is doing the whole kiss, and Peter's like, take the sword out, hacks an ear off. Jesus is like, stay the sword, Peter. You know, there was a whole dynamic happening that Peter blew it. And most communication to Peter, Jesus really addressed him as Simon most of the time. Even when he said, you shall be called Peter, look at his communication to him. But after he cuts the ear off, after he denies Christ 3 times, after, until he hit the beach where he was restored and got restoration, then he really was talked about as Peter from that point on. I think Acts 15, some other people, James, Jerusalem, some other people don't call him Peter in that context. But there was something important there, and I think in our identity, we want our God identity, not the identity from the past. So I did a lot of stupid stuff in school. You know, I did drugs till I was 21 years old. From sixth grade till 21, I'd partied. I was a drug dealer. I did terrible, horrible things. You know, I was like running with the total wrong people. My hair was down to my waist. I was like out there, okay? But at 21, I got radically saved by this reckless love of God. I'm not the guy back there. So if you want to get a list and say how wicked I was, I could write things in for you that would blow you away. Right? They went to school, the same high school with me right here. Hello. But like understanding that's not the man. That's not me. I died to that man. I'm a new man. Tell me what I've done on the other side of that. Are you with me? I'm getting more and more like him. And that's our goal, is to be more and more like him. And Peter was the same way, but Peter had a major transformation after he had the biggest blow it in his life. Can we just say that? So don't be afraid of those times when you just blow it and you think, this is the worst I've ever done. Maybe that's your turning point to be the best you'll ever be. So after that, they called him Peter. And amazing. And do you know, in Hebrews, we always look at the Greek of Simon, but you know the Hebrew Simon or Shimon? You know that I went back just to look at first mention. First mention is always important. In Genesis 29:33, it says, then she conceived and again bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, talking about Leah, and has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon or Shimon or Simon, same thing in Hebrew. So Leah named her son. And what it means is he's, and it talks about hearing. Because God had blessed her with a son, that God heard her cry. The word Shimon or Simon, it means an open ear. Touch your ear. How many know in relationships, really important to have an open ear? If your ear is closed, you're going to be in trouble in relationships. Maybe you feel in relationships that you've not been heard. Maybe you feel like in the relationship you're in, there's an injustice that hasn't been heard or won't be heard. But there's a point when that ear opens and something shifts. Leah's prayer was heard because of the whole situation with her sister, and you know, she was more beautiful, and you know, he loves her more than me. So God gives her the fruit of her womb and gives her the child, and she's this is this whole deal. So in the Old Testament, Leah, Shimon, this open ear is the first mention in the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? First mention in the New Testament, first encounter was Jesus had with a man named Simeon or Shimon, was when he was eight days old. They take him to the temple, and he's going to be dedicated, and he goes to the temple, and here is this Simeon, the man just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit's upon him in Luke chapter 2. Because the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he wouldn't see death till he saw the Lord's Christ. And then he comes into the temple by the Spirit, so it felt something inside was like, I got to get to the temple, and the parents bring in the child according to the custom of the law, and he took him in his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. He hadn't done anything. He's 8 days old, baby. You can't tell a lot about a baby at 8 days old, can you? He's 8 days old, and he's saying, because he had an ear to hear God, and God said, that's the baby. This is the Savior. This is the Messiah. He had an ear. There's something here we needed to check out, that Simon, we just look at Simon who cut off the ear, but his name actually means an open ear. So here, Simeon hearing meets Jesus. The living word meets an open ear. That's the New Testament beginning. How do we get born again? Is when we have an open ear to a Savior. The gospel. Anyway, that was free. Let's go into the word. The word number one. Let's talk about committed to quality communication. We have to be committed to quality communication, not just committed to communicate, but quality communication. Because how many know communication can sometimes not be so quality? I was cracking up one time because I went into the youth room. Sorry, Taylor, I bagged on Matt. I got to bag on you. So Pastor Taylor is over the youth ministry. I look in the door. All of them are sitting on a couch and all of them are texting. And I said, are you texting to someone who's on the couch? Just asking. Are they sitting right there and you're texting them? And they started laughing, and one of them said, well, yeah, I have texted the one who's over here. Instead of talking, they were texting. But it's communication, right? You're not even, let's just move right along with that one. Just saying, quality communication. And my point was, I was saying, you can just talk to them. They're right there. But it's so much easier to text. I'm like, yeah, okay. Moving right along. We need to be committed to quality communication. So John 15:12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He loves us and he communicates. He talks to us. He's waiting for us to have the open ear. He speaks. You know, if you look, you say, well, God's not speaking anymore. I watched and somebody was mocking our vice president, saying that the vice president says he hears God. It's like, well, he should hear God. What do you think Revelation says? All seven churches in Revelation, one thing in common was he who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Every church that's a good church, every church that's a life-giving church should teach their people to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. We got to hear what God's saying. We should have an open ear to hear him. That's what he laid out. This is the church that's forward. Are you with me? So in all those seven churches, that's one of the three things that they had in common in all of those messages in Revelation that he gave this revelation, is that we need to have an open ear. We all need to have a form of Peter. We all need to have that Simon. We all need to have that open ear. Are you with me? I love the Passion Translation, which is now on the YouVersion, so you can go to YouVersion and download it. One person hurrayed on that one, but anyway. Do you have the YouBible on your app? Is it you? What is it? YouVersion. Anyway, Passion Translation, awesome. Colossians 3:18, let every word be supportive. I gave like a cheer. Yes! It's not as, anyway. Colossians 3:18, let every wife be supportive. This is the Passion Translation. Let every wife be supportive and tenderly devoted to her husbands. Everybody say, aw. Husbands, come on, give me a second aw. Aw. She's supportive and tenderly devoted. This is a beautiful illustration of our devotion to Christ. Let every husband be filled with cherishing love for his wife and never be insensitive towards her. Every woman just go, aw. Never be insensitive. Aw. Every guy's going, awful, you said that. Did you really say that today? You just set the bar that I would never, ever be insensitive, ever? Of course we're going to be insensitive once in a while. Come on, guys, but like we're trying not to be, right? You want me just to tickle your ear, or you want me to just preach the word? So there's many levels of communication, and I want to talk about those five levels for a minute. Because sometimes we just live out on those lower levels, and unfortunately, most people never make it above level 3. We have to go into level 4 and level 5 if you're going to have a meaningful, deep relationship. If you're going to deepen your relationship, you need to identify 1, 2, and 3 and start diving into 4. And I'll tell you right now, when you get into level 3, that's where conflict starts to happen. And some of you, as soon as you find conflict, you back off and say, I will not go beyond that because I do not want conflict. And you won't have a quality relationship either. Serious. I hear some people go, we've been married for 400 years. Not really, but you know. But is it quality? I'm not mocking the time. I'm saying, what level of communication are you at after those years? And sometimes they're in such deep communication, it's beautiful. You see what I'm saying? But some people, they think it's just the distance and not the quality. And I think maybe it's both. Moving right along. Number one is cliches. How's it going? What's up? Everybody say it with me. What's up? Right? You don't even expect an answer, do you? You just go by people. What's up? And you didn't even wait to say, I'm really having a hard day. It's a hard time. And I really need some prayer. I'm sorry. But I just like, what's up? And you keep going, right? You don't even expect them to respond. And sometimes they're going like, do you really want to know? Do you really want me to like open up and show you what's in here right now? Because there's maybe some pain in here, maybe some hurt in here. Maybe there's something happy in here and I'm looking for someone to share it with. Are you with me? So first level, we're just saying stuff. What's up? How you doing? You know, how's it going? You're not even really like, it's pretty safe. Everybody say safe. Level one is safe. Level two is facts. Hey, weather's good outside. Hey, we're here. Hey, great night at the Crux. Hey, great, you know, great to hang out. You know, just facts, right? Hello, are you here? One is cliches, one is facts. They're also safe, but they're kind of shallow. You're not really, really risking much when you're just saying facts, right? And then the third one is opinions. And here's where communication gets a little deeper and it has a risk involved. This is where conflict gets involved because everybody has an opinion. Say, everybody has an opinion. If you think your opinion has to be first, then you're going to have conflicts. And if you're afraid to voice your opinion and have someone else voice an opinion that's different than yours, then this is where you're going to stop and always live below this. And you'll test the water with your opinion, then you'll back off. Just saying. So what do we need to do here? What if someone has a different opinion? Some people, they don't really care. Do you know people like that? People can say, they can say, I think the weather's really bad. And the other person can say, I love the weather like this. I love rain and it's awesome. And the other person says, how could you think that? And they're like, I don't care if you don't think what I think is important or not important. I don't care. I like the rain. Right? Do you know some people like that? They're not really concerned that you're not really, like, that you really differ in your opinion in them. They're like, whatever. And some people are like, let's debate on this. Let's lock heads on this one. You know what I mean? Let me tell you. And you're like, this is just an opinion, you know? It's like, lighten up. You're ready to like go to gloves right now. So if your personality is a dominator or a persuader, sometimes you'll lock arms. You'll start to like go at it over something that's someone's opinion and they have a right to their opinion. Just saying. And the next one, third level is opinions. The fourth level is feelings. And on the fourth level, this is where you start to say, I feel this. This made me feel this way. Now, this is you in opinions, you open up and it's a little risky. Feelings, this gets risky, doesn't it? Because someone can step on your feelings. When you say, I feel this way, and they're like, get over yourself. And you're like, I was opening up my heart. You just stepped on it. Hello? So when someone's telling you how they feel, really have an open ear to listen and go beyond and think. Even if you don't feel that way, like they're telling me how they feel. Think beyond that. How this feels. And some people tell me that what they're going through, and I'm thinking, instead of going, I know how you feel, I'm like, I have no clue how you feel. All I know is I know I don't know and I don't have the capability of really feeling what you feel. And I'm standing with you to pray. And I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit because there's no way I could feel that. Some people have a loss and it's like, how could I, somebody's going through chronic pain. I'm in very good health. I'm like, I don't have chronic pain. I don't know what that's like. I haven't really had chronic pain in my life. I don't know how that's like. I don't know. There's a lot of things. There's no way we could know. That's like a man saying, he's like, she just had a baby and this. And the man goes, yeah, I know how you feel. And the woman's like, you don't even have a clue. Come on, somebody, right? We had a baby, and he's like, no, I had the baby. Matt just, like, had the fun part. Hello. You know what I mean? It's like, really, seriously. Like, so when we start saying how we feel, we need to look and say, and we need to realize sometimes we really don't know how they feel. Don't brush it off. Are you here? And telling your feelings is very important that we say how we feel. There's a couple rules to that that'll help you in expressing your feeling. So, okay, if I just say, when you did this, you made me feel bad. He's like, get your finger out of my face. He's already backing up going, you're making me feel really uncomfortable right now because I'm telling you how I feel. And when you did that, you made me feel. It's like, wait, did you make me feel? Because you can't make me feel like anything. If I feel, it's because of my own thoughts and the way I process something that happened. Did we establish that last week? So take the finger away when you're talking about how you feel. Remember, there's like more pointing back at you than you at the other person. Right? Three times as many coming back at you. It's your feeling. So stop saying you. Just say I. So here's a helpful tip. Instead, you say, Taylor, we are supposed to go down and have, you know, Starbucks together. And you were late. And I didn't even get my caffeine fix for the day. And I had another appointment. You know, those are all you. Instead of saying, you know, we were going to meet and I was just disappointed that we didn't get a chance to connect. Use I's. I feel. So you can say somebody did something. When this happened, if you can avoid saying you, when you did this, you just say, you know, when that happened and we weren't able to connect, it made me feel like you really didn't care or that we weren't important. And that when I wanted to connect with you, that your connecting with me isn't really important. Because every time I go to say, let's connect, you're late or you don't really come or your brain's another place or you're texting. You see, I did a bunch of yous in that. So you could say, I don't feel real comfortable like we're connecting when the... I feel disconnected or I feel. So if I really be open, like we had to tell our kids one time, we just set a rule. We said, when we're doing our family dinner, it's not time to text. And then they would text under the table. Cha, 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 cha. Like we don't know they're texting under the table. And I'm like, just shut the text off. The world will go on. Connect, make eye contact, and let's just like have communication across the table. Because I don't feel like we're connecting when everyone's texting during our dinner. Are you here? So I had to say, as a papa, I'm telling you, I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel like we're connecting. Instead of, you are doing this. Use the I statements when you feel, because you feel some way. And see, even me trying to give it to you in a demonstration, I already started to say you, and I was blowing it even trying to give you this demonstration. Are you here? So we all do it. We all make mistakes, because it's real easy to talk about what the other person did to make you feel a way, but really, it's how you responded. It's not really what they did. But until you say how you feel, they can't make an adjustment on what happened. But if I told you that really makes me feel bad, he's going to be on time next time because he's going to go, you know, he has only so much time and now we missed it and it was important that we connected this week and I don't have any other slots to give you. And then he's going to go, wow, I don't know, that really hurt him because he loves me. He wants to have a relationship with me. He wants to connect with me. He wants to know what's going on in my life. That changes everything. Then instead of just going, I can't believe you were late again, right? Then you just get defensive. But in a marriage, it's the same way. If you're saying, I feel like this, instead of saying the obvious of what happened, you're saying, this made me feel. So there's risk level in your feelings, but you have to go here. So I'm telling you a couple tips to get there is just to say I statements. Oh, come on, iPad. Thank you. Number five. Needs. I need you not to check out on me right now. It went, put a passcode. It tells me you are, the owner is not allowing you to share these files. I'm like, I'm the owner. I do allow myself to access my own files. This tells me you are, the owner of these files is not allowing you access. I'm like, really? Are you serious? Okay. The fifth level of communication. Sorry. That's my little... Fifth level is needs. Needs is what do you really need to flourish in a relationship? And this is where you're really getting honest and open and you're saying, these are my needs. And when you're sharing your needs, don't share 20 needs. Really just share a need and then go back and forth and talk about that until it's really established. Both should express their needs. So if I said, you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to use Annie because we just have two cats at home. So if I was Matt and I said, honey, I need a hot dinner when I come home. And she's like, I have two hot kids running around the house. I need help when you get home. And if you came home and just played with the kids for a little bit, then I could have the hot dinner ready. Are you here? Fair enough. So let's wait like an hour till after I'm home and then we'll talk about this dinner because I'm sharing and helping. And she could say, well, I feel like I need help because I've been with them all day long. And now you're coming home and you're just telling me what you need to feel good, that you're getting this meal for me. And that makes me feel loved, because at home, my mom always had a meal waiting and hot for me. And we always put the benchmark of our experience onto our spouses as a typical thing. Is it really a need or is it a want? But if I want to flourish in this relationship, I'm telling you, and I'm opening up to my needs. And then they're going to tell you some of theirs. So if you're not willing to compromise in your needs and say, you know what, it's important to me that we have this sit-down dinner, but it's important to you that I help. So I'm going to help you with the kids so that we can accomplish this. And then they're like, that's doable for me. If you gave me 60 minutes of time, you take the kids outside and play or you do something, I could whoop up a meal that would just blow your mind. But like, you know, really now. Hello, are you here? So when we start getting into needs, usually another need will arise when you're saying, I need this. And they're saying, well, I need this. I need more time from you here. I need you to communicate. It's like, well, then help me. Because after we get home, if I'm spending, once the kids go down to bed and then I'm doing the dishes and I'm trying to clean up and do all this work, how can I have communication? So if you come home and you help me do a little housework, I need quality time. And all of a sudden it's like, if you help me do some housework, I'm going to have a lot more time to sit down with you and give you the quality time. Then it's like, I know it sounds like a negotiation, but I'm saying you have to share those needs. And then you have to compromise and say, okay, I hate dishes. Growing up, I hated dishes. I'm sorry. Are you here in the room? We had 10 kids. Dishes in our house was like prison camp. I had dishes once a week. Listen, I paid my brother and sister one time like $15 to do the dishes. This was a long time ago. That was like seven times minimum wage or something. It was a lot. You know what I mean? It was a lot. And I'm like, I just hate doing the dishes because it's like 10 kids worth of dishes. It was horrible. I don't know what it is. I need a sozo from doing dishes. So if it was like do the dishes, it's like, I will vacuum, I will do the laundry, I will do all this other stuff if you just handle that part. Fine, I'll do the dishes while I'm doing the food, but you can go out there and do that. And then it's like, oh, I feel so much better. Because she's expressing her needs, I'm expressing my needs, and then we're moving forward, and we're talking about how we feel. And sometimes it's all good. She's got it down, but then on this one day, she comes home and she just says, I just feel really wiped and exhausted. We had a bad hair day all around our house, and I really need more help than normal today. I feel. And then it's like, for our relationship to flourish, I really need you to step up to the plate and do things you normally wouldn't do. Are you with me? So feelings and needs go back and forth. Are you with me? And so if we could establish that and you start getting there, but like, if you spend some time before long, you'll discover what their needs are, and you could already guess before you get home. Honey, how's it going? And then, you know, instead of just like, what's up? It's like, how's it going? Maybe it starts out and you go from 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 5. How's it going? You know, it's going good. You know, yeah, I know. You know, traffic's kind of, facts are on the table. Level 2. Yeah, traffic's kind of busy. I'm a little bit delayed, but I'm on my way. Yeah, okay. All right. And then you're going down into the next level. Then you go down into level 4. I'm feeling level 5. So you have to go between those. If you don't go into 4 and 5, you're not going to have quality relationship. Is that okay, Annie? I didn't like. It's good, right? Yeah. If you watched me fry your husband at the beginning, you would have like, you know, no. All Canadians. I love Matt. Okay, got to move on. Okay. So how many know Jesus was totally into restoring relationships? When Peter cut the ear off, then Peter went deeper, right? Because after he cut the ear off, he followed him into the garden. And at the supper before, he said, you know, you'll deny me 3 times. Then he denies him. And then he looks over and Jesus catches his eye. And he's like, oh, I denied Christ 3 times. And he runs away, totally feeling like a failure. Jesus, next time he sees Jesus, he's out there. He's on the boat. 3rd time, Jesus appears to his disciples. Peter dives in the water, goes to the shore. They have their encounter. Jesus does the exchange. Peter, do you love me? Right? And he's telling him, Simon, do you love me? And in this exchange, He says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He says, tend my sheep. There's actually some things happening because Peter's really feeling, do you love me? And he's like, do you know I just denied you and you told me I was going to do it. And now you're doing this. You know all things. You knew I was going to blow up before I blew it. And now you're asking me if I love you and you already know I love you. And Jesus is pulling things out of Peter. He's not tormenting Peter. He's not taunting Peter. He's not throwing his mistake in his face. There's a purpose that Jesus is having. And Jesus says to him, and Jesus reveals something. He says, tend my sheep. Jesus is going to ascend. We're the body of Christ. Someone has to tend to sheep. Jesus is telling him a need. God needs us to be the body of Christ on earth. God has no needs. I think he's asking him, tend my sheep. Right? If you're going out of town, do you just leave your kids and just say they'll tend themselves? Right? You're like, Annie, tend my kids. Right? This is a concern. Jesus, these are his, he's revealing his heart. He's revealing something. And then he says again, do you love me? And he was grieved. And the third time, do you love me? And a third time, he says, feed my sheep. Jesus gets his response three times, and we know that he's doing this to restore, that he denied him three times. He got him to make a declaration three times. Yes, Lord, I love you. But he's trying to restore the separation back. On his side, he was already there with Peter. He's loving. But I want you to catch something. We must note that love restored brought back Peter to the task. If you love me, then love others. It's like he's saying, Peter, do you love me? Then love people by feeding them and tending them. He was restoring him back to his calling because that was his calling, right? So he's restoring him to his calling, but he brought him right back to a task. So we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. We have to build each other up. We have to encourage one another. We just say, Scott, keep doing that. You're reaching people I couldn't reach. Do that thing you're doing. Dan O'Dash, keep doing what you're doing. You know, we have to encourage one another. We have to say, you know, Carol, I know you're up there with these kids and your leg is broken and you're on a scooter. I just rue you. Keep doing that thing. You're just like an animal out there. You just are going to go do it. She's like, I won't stay back. I won't stop. I'm going to do what God called me to do. And she's got her foot on this cart and the kids are wanting to ride around on it. It's like, let's encourage one another and say, I just applaud you. What an awesome thing that you did that. And some people will remember something. There was a story, true story. It was amazing. How many know Henry Ford? You know, the whole Henry Ford automobile? He takes this sketch, this raw sketch, and he shows it to this guy. And then all of a sudden the guy goes, he says, that's it. He says, young man, that's the thing. You've got it. And Henry Ford said that was a turning point for him. That was Thomas Edison. Young man, that thing, you've got it. That was his turning point. Peter had his turning point when he got restored three times. Henry Ford failed at all these things. Thomas Edison told him, young man, that thing, you've got it. And he ran with it. And then Ford just was relentless because Thomas Edison told him as a young man, I got it. Right? I got it. Edison told me I got it. Crazy looking Edison told me I got it. Ford probably never forgets that face. And the bang on the bang of his hand. Wham! He's probably like, what? He's like, you got it, young man. He never forgot that. And he attributes that. He says, that just was worth worlds to me. One word of affirmation is just worth so much. Don't let your words be wasted. So the next one is dealing with feelings. Wow. I'm feeling like I'm so far behind. Valentine's should be more than just a day. It should just be something that we're always doing, expressing our love. You know, I was thinking about it, and I went in to buy Teresa some flowers, and the lady challenged me, and she said, what are the flowers for? And it threw me, you know, and I was buying Teresa some roses. It was still in January, and I said, well, you know, Valentine's is coming up. And she looked at me like, are you crazy? That's like almost a month away. You know what I mean? So she's like, what are the roses for? You know, and I'm like, and I thought, well, because I love my wife, you know? And they're like, I said, well, Valentine's is getting close. I think it's her third set of roses on the counter right now because I've kept roses in the house. And I just said, you know, sometimes Valentine's needs to be out during the whole month of February. You know what I mean? Hello, are you here? Some people look at you like you're crazy. It's like, it shouldn't just be a one-day event. Here it is, and then it's over. And I'm saying this because I'm trying to tell you, I want to go beyond what the norm, and I don't want to I want to be like Jesus love and have love continually. You know what I mean? Moving right along. I'm just saying we need to constantly express our love and be looking for ways to express our love. And it's awesome. This commandment that you love one another as I've loved you. That love should flow. So I wanted to just talk about last illustration on feelings because I need to land this thing. Is dealing with feelings is, I need to understand that our thinking really determines it. With Joshua, he told him, don't let the book of law depart in Joshua chapter 1. Don't let it depart from your mouth, but meditate on it. What we're thinking on is important because Jericho was delivered in one day, but he was already meditating on that victory. He said, if you meditate on my word, you'll have success. So we need to meditate on the word and let the word transform our thinking so that we're changing our thoughts. Are you here? If you say, my spouse isn't the greatest spouse, try thinking about all the great things about him and just say every day, I have the best spouse in the world, and meditate on what it would look like to be married to the best spouse there ever was. Try thinking on what you want. You say, well, that's just weird. You'll respond differently to them, and they'll respond differently back to you. Think about Joseph. Joseph was 17, 18 years when he had a dream before it manifests. 17, 18 years. Some of you are saying, well, mine's not coming to pass. I think Joseph felt, but he never let go of his dream. So listen, just don't let your circumstances imprison your feelings. Joseph was in prison, but he didn't let his feelings get imprisoned. Kept a good attitude, and he believed God. He focused your thoughts on the goodness of God. Can I get the worship team to come back if they're back there? Hello? My favorite Canadian and the rest of you. So basically, we stay committed to quality relationships. We deal with our feelings. And last one, resolving conflicts. Do it quickly. Resolve it quickly. You know, Jesus did it quickly. When Peter came up to him, he said, friend. That was pretty quick. You betrayed me. You just identified me. I know you just betrayed me. And he tells him, friend. Jesus was pretty good at demonstrating forgiveness real quick. Right? On the cross. He's on the cross. Father, forgive them. Forgive quickly. You know, and Revelations tells us to repent quickly. Be quick to repent. If you've lost your first love, be quick to repent. So if you've done something wrong, be quick to own it. If someone's wronged you, be quick to forgive them. And that's a good one. If you take that tip, you'll go far with it. Even as Ephesians tells us, in Ephesians 4, 26, it says, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. We need to be quick to just bring a resolution. Be quick to take it, and don't let things fester. Don't let things torment, but release them. And do not imprison feelings, and especially if your feelings are not the greatest feelings. So I just want you to stand, if you would stand. I just feel like we need to end this sermon and just let the love of God really touch you and really come into you, because when you're challenged with relationships, your ability to handle and to deepen your relationships depends on your hunger for a deep relationship with a living God. Because you can't give what you don't have. You could have all these techniques of love and not have the author of love, but when you have love flowing out of you, it flows into the person you're with. And the best way to love somebody is to get it from God. So I just pray right now, Father, that you would just pour into our spirits that reckless love of God, the love that went to a cross, the love that Jesus demonstrated when he said, forgive them. When they betrayed him, they beat him, they crucified him. When he took the sins, our sins, on the cross, and he said, forgive them, they know not what they do. He forgives you for where you've blown it in relationships. He forgives you where you've blown it with him. He forgives you where you've blown it with others. And he's asking you, will you receive that love of God? Will you receive that love from God? But then, after you've received it, just like Peter was then restored, he was given the task to love others. Will we love as we've been loved? So first receive it, and then we get to give it. But Father, I thank you for it, and I pray you release it over everyone who's here. I pray. pray right now for restoration. If you've done something really stupid and you felt like a Peter, I pray that you receive that restoration. I pray that you would step into your life's mission and ministry. That God sees you as his son or as his daughter. He sees you as so special, so precious in his sight, that his only heart's cry is that you be restored into sonship, restored as a daughter, that you could function and not only receive that precious love, that reckless love, but that you could give it. I pray that your relationships would go deeper. I pray that that love would flow greater. And I thank you for your word today. I pray your word wouldn't be taken lightly. And I thank you, God, that even as we press in during this season, God, that we just believe you for deeper relationships with you and with others. We thank you. You're so good. Thank you for your great love. Can we just tell them just real soft, just not with your hands clapping, but just with your mouth, just say thank you. Thank you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you for your great love. Just tell them you love him. Just tell them you love him. Thank you for your great love. You're so good. Thank you, God. Thank you for my relationships. Thank you, God, for those around me. Thank you that you've placed me in this world to just let love flow from me. Lord, I just bless you. I thank you for each person who's here. Huh? And I thank you for every sphere. I pray, God, that they really would be a light in a dark place. I just see some of you say, well, you know, you don't understand the environment that I have to function in. You know, when it's super, super dark, you can see a little candle from like really, really far away. So even if you feel like you're the only light in a dark place, maybe you're in a work situation or in school or somewhere where you feel like you're just a little light. Your light shines. You have the light of the world in you. It's Jesus. Love shines. It shines brighter in a dark place. Be encouraged. God loves you. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.